You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, everybody, Trey Wingo here, and the Michael K. Show with Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg starts right now. Question, will this be a day without a Don rant?
We shall see, Trey, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show, and we thank you for joining us on this Wednesday. It's September 28th, 2022. The Yankees are the American League East Division champions.
Oh, yeah.
So they will not play the first round. They will sit back and wait, and then they'll have home field advantage in the division series. And looks like they would not have home field advantage against the Astros in the American League Championship Series, but I'll have to wait to see what goes on in the first round or the first round of games that the Astros play. So let's get that out of the way right away. Congratulations to the Yankees, their 20th division title since division play began in 1969. But over the last couple of weeks, we all know the Yankees are going to win the East. Well, for most of the last 3 months, we kind of assumed that the Mets would win the National League East. And after last night's loss to the Marlins and the Braves' win last night against the Nationals, it is a dead heat with 7 games left to go, and 3 of those games, they play each other this weekend. Whether or not that gets played, not quite sure. Braves look somewhat intractable on canceling the games or moving them to somewhere else. They think that Saturday is the day that will be most affected by rain. Anyway, that's a story for a little bit later on, but they have the exact record. 7 games left to play, 3 against each other. Donnie, you're starting to worry.
Well, how do you not? Because it's hard to kill them and say they've played poorly. Both teams are 7-3 in their last 10. But that you look at that Saturday game against the A's, a lousy team. You get a 3-0 lead in the top of the first inning, lose with DeGrom on the mound. And then last night you give up 6 runs. Carrasco on the mound. He's trying to prove that he deserves to be the fourth starter come playoff time, 15-win season. And you give up, you know, you give up 4 runs early, 6 runs total to the worst offensive team in baseball in your own building, knowing you're going to have to win because the Nationals were already up big. So yeah, it's they're held to a different standard. So, but the Braves being hot as anything, well, they've kind of cooled off just a little bit, and the Mets got to take care of business. They're winning series. But yesterday was a little disturbing. I mean, you want to win against the Marlins at home, knowing you have to win. And you can make it all about those 3 games against Atlanta, but you want to make sure that you at least have a little bit of a cushion because sweeping in Atlanta is going to be tough. So you don't want to kill them, Michael, but at the same time, really just last night was really just a frustrating loss in all facets. To fall behind early, waste the Alonso 3-run home run to get back into the game. Bullpen gives it right back after that. Just a very frustrating 9 innings last night in a must-win situation.
And now you've put yourself in a position, I believe, that you have to take 2 out of 3 in Atlanta. Because if you lose tonight and the Braves win, then the Braves have a 1-game lead. You have to take 2 out of 3 to tie. Now, if you go in tied, if both teams win tonight, I still think you have to take 2 out of 3.
Yeah, any way you look at it. Now, the Mets, 1 win in Atlanta would secure the tiebreaker.
Which is huge.
Which is big, but in a 3-game series, I mean, what's it going to matter? Right? Because if you win the first game, all right, you got the tiebreaker and a 1-game lead. But then if you lose the next 2, now you're down a game, and you're going to have to hope that the Marlins beat the Braves, and you've got the Nationals. So the hope is that you might have a little bit more advantage because the Nationals are a lot worse than the Marlins are, but you still got to win the series, Michael. It's going to be tough to hope to gain the game back in the final 3 games of the season. You want to leave Atlanta with a lead, and it looks like the only way to do that is either, you know, is to at least take 2 out of 3 from Atlanta.
Now, what you need is you need Marte back.
Yeah.
Full-fledged player. They have gotten nothing from the guys they acquired. Darren Ruff has
awful.
Actually been awful. And it makes you question that trade now. It really makes you question the trade. And then Vogelback started off quickly, so you can't say he's giving you nothing because he helped you win when he first got there.
I'm a big boy.
He's kind of a non-factor, too. So they need their guys to really turn it on. I mean, Pete Alonso right now is playing the role that Aaron Judge played in August. No one else doing anything. Well, you could say Lindor's doing some stuff. But Pete Alonso's carrying them. He now is the major league RBI leader and should get consideration for MVP. Now, I don't think he's the MVP, but I think he could finish in the top three. What a season he's had.
Yeah.
And that was after that flat spot where he didn't really produce much at all. But he's turned it on in September. That makes you have to feel good about what he's going to do in the postseason. But either the Braves or the Mets, their chance to beat the Dodgers and get into the World Series, I think hinges on whether you play that first series or not. Now, the Mets are all set up pitching-wise against the Braves. They've got their three best pitchers. You've got Bassett, you've got DeGrom, you've got Scherzer. And that means those three would be set up to pitch in the first round if they go in as a wild card. But remember, you have those top three over the weekend, Don. You can't just throw out, you know, little sisters of the poor against the Nationals. I mean, it's a professional team. So if Carrasco and Walker don't pitch well, you're kind of in trouble. You're kind of in trouble. You're going to have to win, I believe, all three of those national games.
Right. Anything other than that, you're catching a break. I am going in with the assumption is if the Mets do not have a lead coming out of the Braves series, or at least because they, I guess they could be tied depending on what happens tonight, that you're done. Because I don't want to sit there hoping that the Marlins beat the Braves. That's not what you're hoping. I'm going to go and saying you've got to make the hay over the next four games. Today, win, keep it tied because you can't control what the Nationals are going to do tonight against the Braves, and then take care of business at Atlanta. And it looks like you're going to have Friday, Saturday. You're probably going to have a doubleheader on Sunday, which is probably the best-case scenario for the Mets because it'll keep their pitching in line.
Right.
I guess I got jumped this morning on the morning show, Rick and Dave, for suggesting they play Thursday because then it would mess up having all three pitchers available to them for the series. But I was just thinking about trying to get these played.
Not true at all. Bassett would pitch on normal rest if he pitched on Thursday. Friday, he's going to pitch with an extra day rest. So they're wrong.
So what were they jumping me for?
Because they don't like you.
Well, that's another.
That's
now you. If it was a doubleheader on Thursday,
I hate
DeGrom
Don.
Wouldn't be able
right.
to pitch.
Right. I guess that's what they were jumping me for, is I suggested why not play two on Thursday, get two games out of the way, so you have no issue, because it looks like Sunday is going to be fine.
I like that idea.
But if Sunday is going to be fine, and I believe, just want to confirm, that the Braves-Mets are the Sunday night game.
Yep, they are.
Then you could have the day-night doubleheader on Sunday.
Yep.
So we don't have to play two on Thursday, but I think playing one on Thursday would be the prudent thing to do. Baseball's not going to do it. They're going to take their chances on Friday with no hope of playing on Saturday, which I think is a mistake, Michael, because what if they can't play on Friday? Or what if the game's compromised in some way? Like, what if there's a long rain delay? Do you really want a huge game like that decided because the starting pitchers couldn't be involved because there's a three-hour rain delay? I didn't look at the hourlies to see how it's going to work out. I'm sure baseball has done more homework than I have on it. But with a really good chance of rain on Friday, I don't know why they'd even mess with it. Play a game tomorrow.
Well, the Braves think the only day that could be compromised is Saturday. That's what they think.
Okay.
So Major League Baseball, it's in their hands, though. The Braves can't do anything. Final series, it's in Major League Baseball's hands. So we shall see. I think we'll know something by the end of the show because they have to make a decision one way or the other. Where are the Mets headed? Mets have to fly after the game tonight. So we'll know something, I'm sure, before the Met game begins so the Mets know where to point their plane. But I think they're going to Atlanta. And it's going to be a heck of a series. And it is the last Sunday night baseball game of the year.
Because it's amazing how things change, right? I think any Met fan at the beginning of the season would have been thrilled to be in the situation that they're in. Thrilled. Seven games left, tied for first place with the Braves. I think on April 1st, whatever opening day was, you know, March 30th, whatever, you would have signed for that. I don't know if you'd signed, if you're thrilled about it now. And never mind the 10.5 game lead, just what's happened recently. To lose yesterday, to lose the way they did on Saturday, you know, the loss they had in Pittsburgh last week. Like, there's just certain games that slid through your fingers. I'm not sure they completely took advantage of this weak September schedule that we talked about. That after the Dodgers, you know, a lot of games, only the Brewers were the only winning team besides the Braves they had to play the rest of the way. I'm not sure they took full advantage of it.
Now, please illuminate me on this. So, TMKS burner account on Twitter goes, Michael K. thinks the Mets have to win 2 or 3 in Atlanta and then win all three against the Nats. Yeah, okay, I'll play along. Where's that wrong? You're expecting the Braves to lose against the Marlins?
Well, do you really want to count on that if you're a Mets fan?
Yeah, what do you want to do? Like, take 1 of 3 right, and then, like, take 2 or 3 against the Nationals? You think that's going to get it done? Well, call in. I'd love to talk to you about it rather than have a little snarky remark.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's just go – let's just assume, and it's a tough assumption, but let's try to be positive, that both teams win today, and they go into the series against the Braves still tied with 6 games left to play.
Right.
If the Mets lose 2 out of 3 to the Braves and don't win 2, because it's a 3-game series, you can't split, right? So it's a matter of winning 2 out of 3 or losing 2 out of 3. Then where are you going to be?
You're going to be 1 game.
You're going to be 1 game
with 3 games left.
With 3 games left. What are the odds? Now, you'll have the tiebreaker. Let's throw that in. So if you end up tied with the Braves, the Mets win the division because they would win the season series. So what would you put the odds on that the Mets would gain a game with the Braves playing 3 against the Marlins and the Mets playing 3 against the Nationals?
Right, let's just assume that it's a normal series and they both take 2 out of 3. Boom, you've lost a division by 1 game. You really believe that the Braves are going to lose 2 out of 3 to the Marlins?
So, but what odds would you put on it that the Mets would gain a game in the final 3?
I wouldn't give you good odds.
No, it would be less than 50%, right?
Right now it would.
So, all right, so have to, but do you really want, as a Met fan, to hope to gain a game with the Braves, with the Braves having to play the Marlins? And the Mets will be home. The Braves
are in Miami.
Braves are in Miami. So, again, but then Miami, I think, is a much better. Right now, Miami's 64-90. And the Nationals have lost 101 games. So clearly the Nationals are worse than the Marlins. But still, do I want, as a Met fan, to have to try to gain a game in the final 3 games?
Right,
no.
So if you take 2 out of 3 in Atlanta, all right, you have the tiebreaker, you have a 1-game lead. So even if you take 2 out of 3 against the Nationals and the Braves sweep the Marlins, it's tied, boom, you win because you have the tiebreaker. You have to take 2 out of 3 in Atlanta. You have to.
I think you painted the scenario that the Mets have to go 5-1 in the final 6.
Now, let's talk about how you think it'll affect them if it just doesn't happen. They lose the division. Number one, how much will it impact them from a layout of the series standpoint that they have to play in the wild card? And number two, from a mental standpoint, just for the fact that they would have collapsed and to some degree.
It's such an interesting point. I'd have to go back to the history. How the disappointment affects you, because you got to shake it off, right? You're going into the next series, best of 3 series against Philadelphia or San Diego, 2 good teams, especially San Diego. You really can't be too disappointed, otherwise if you let it affect you, you'd be in big time trouble.
Well, and remember, all you do is go win a series, and all of a sudden you're not thinking about the fact about what just happened.
Way you're thinking about it is it will impact your pitching.
Right.
Now, all of those pitchers that pitch in the wild card series will be able to pitch in the division series, but they might not be able to pitch multiple times. So you play the 3 straight games, and I believe after that, the series will start on Tuesday. So let's say you go Scherzer, DeGrom, and Bassett Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So Saturday, Sunday, Monday. If the series starts Tuesday, you can't start Scherzer in game 1. You certainly can't start the other 2 guys because Scherzer would be pitching on short rest. Scherzer would pitch in game 2. You'd have to go with Carrasco or Walker in game 1 of a series.
Right. In LA.
The way I look at it.
In LA against the Dodgers. So your best case scenario, Michael, would be having Carrasco or Walker. Let's just say Walker. And then having Bassett in game two.
No. Bassett in game two. Yeah.
Against the Dodgers in L.A. in a best of five.
And then Scherzer in a must win maybe in game three.
Right.
DeGrom in game four. And you come back. This is where it hurts. And then you come back with Walker or Carrasco in game five. You like your chances?
You don't like your chances against the Dodgers when you don't have Scherzer and DeGrom to start the series. You're already at the disadvantage of not starting at Citi Field. That's why I've always said playing the extra layer is going to cost them, Michael.
That's why what the Yankees did winning the division was so big. You get back healthy players. That gives Marte more time to get healthy. And you can set up your pitching because your pitching is the reason you could win the World Series. Now, I have another question about the Mets. Maybe it's not my question to ask, but we'll do it under the guise of game time. Brought to you by Telemar Dew Irish Whiskey. So last night's announced crowd was 29,000 plus. And Anthony DiComo, who covers the Mets for MLB, said a lot fewer people were there. Since Labor Day, where every single game has meant a lot. Now, they haven't played great opponents, but every game has meant something. They've had two crowds over 30, and one of them was Gerrit Cole on bobblehead night. So I never spend people's money. It's expensive to go to a sporting event, but people do go. Why haven't they gone to the Met games? What, for a good team that's exciting, that has been in first place most of the year, Don, why do they not have 38,000, 37,000 every game?
I don't know. I mean, I know there are Met fans. All right, you can't deny that.
Sure.
All right, we're not talking about, how many Net fans there are, Devil fans there are, Islander fans there are. We know the Met fans have a tremendous fan base, right up there among the most passionate in New York. So the question would be, why would they not be flocking to watch this team that's in the middle of a pennant race? I don't know the answer to it. Is it because they really haven't had attractive teams? I'm looking at the teams they've played since Labor Day. Pirates, Marlins, Cubs, who are an awful team. They had the Dodgers, which obviously they probably did very well there because the Dodgers are a really good team and a really popular team. But is it because you're playing a steady diet of teams that just aren't attractive? Cubs are awful. Pirates are awful. Marlins are awful. Is it the opponent? Is it that a lot of tickets are sold, way in advance? That we don't get the walk-up we used to, so the fact that it's a pennant race doesn't matter? I really don't know the answer, because I know the fans that are there care, and I know every Met fan is living and dying, and the television ratings have been good. I mean, they're going up against really stiff competition with football and certainly Judge going to try to break the record, but it's not like no one's watching. So we know they're there, but why are they not going to the ballpark? I don't know.
Because I wonder how much it matters. Yeah, like those aren't sexy teams that you mentioned, but usually when a team's playing well and playing important games, I mean, it doesn't matter. Does it matter that much? Michael, do you get that at Yankee Stadium?
Well, I mean, the Yankees played the Pirates. Pirates are just, awful. And I know the Judge thing certainly brings more people in. They had over 40,000 every game. The Yankees are averaging about 40,000 people per game.
And the Mets are about...
Mets are about 31 plus, maybe almost 32 a game. Why that big a difference?
But
if you think about it, that's 7,000 times 41. So it's almost 290,000 fewer fans. Why?
But that's, but Judge makes a big deal.
But Judge wasn't a thing until the last month. Judge has had a great year.
That Pirate series, there's 40,000 people in there, and half those people are there to see Judge and try to break a record, to tie the record, not to see the Pirates. I would be interested to see if Judge had 40 home runs, how many people would be in the building for the Pirates?
But that's my point, though, right? So something special is happening, and you go, even though it's a really lousy opponent. The Mets are on the verge of clinching the National League East. I don't care who they're playing. These games are important. Again, not spending your money, everybody. Just wondering why you've not been compelled to go see them play games that matter a lot. A lot. Judge is an individual thing. The Mets are playing games, a team thing.
I think attendance is down pretty much everywhere, especially in the major cities. We're not 100% back from COVID. You know, people will go spend money if, you know, Judge has a chance to make history. But, you know, can people go to the ballpark as much? I mean, the Jet game, and there was some excitement around the Jets going into that game against Cincinnati, right? They just came off a thrilling victory, and there's 55,000 people in the building. Now, there wasn't a lot of hype around the Jets the way there's hype around the Yankees and the Mets, but, you know, why isn't that building full early in the season? I saw Knicks and Ranger games last year. Not every game was sold out. Those are two teams that always usually sell out, especially the Rangers, always seem to sell out. And there were times where there'd be 16, 17,000 in the building. And the Rangers were great. You know you have fans. You know that the fans are passionate. So I can only conclude that there's only so much disposable income. And for something special like Judge's race, they'll go. Maybe Met fans are saving their money for the playoff games. Because all three of those wild card games will be at Citi Field if they have settled for the wild card.
So they'll spend their money for the Gary Cohen bobblehead, but not for a game that could get them into the postseason?
I'm not putting it on you,
but those are the things I wonder about. So that's money worth spending. But I love Gary. I wish I had his bobblehead as well.
But here's the problem I have with the conversation. What are we insinuating? That people don't care?
I don't know. I'm not insinuating anything. I'm asking a question. I don't know why they have not because I think it's a good team. It's an exciting team. Every time Scherzer and DeGrom pitches, if I was a Met fan, I'd want to be there. They're not a team that doesn't play hard. They play hard all the time. And by the way, that Braves-Mets game Sunday night, I don't know if you know this. You can hear it right here on 98.7 ESPN on ESPN.
Never
I guess Boog Shambi,
right,
Ray Rowe,
will do the honors. Everybody loves Boog. His new sitcom too. Everybody loves Boog.
That's finally coming out. I didn't know it got greenlit.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer.
I don't think anybody does. Just threw it out there.
But I don't know. But there still has to be something you're insinuating.
I'm not insinuating anything.
Then why is it a topic?
Because I'm wondering. I'm asking a question. I don't know why.
Because the thing, it would assume lack of interest, and we know there's interest in the team.
I mean, you could extrapolate their crappy fans.
No, I think Met fans are great. But
I'm just trying to get to the bottom of what we're trying to conclude here.
Maybe they don't love this team. Maybe there's no star power on the team to them. I don't know.
I don't know how you could say that when we were just actually having a conversation before the start of the show that Pete Alonso is starting to look like that in another few years, and really not that many years, he might become the greatest Met of all time outside
and
of Tom
Seaver. I also said earlier, I think he's going to be in the top three in the MVP,
right.
If not second.
I mean, he's got 40 home runs, over 130 RBIs. Lindor's having a great year. You know, Diaz was a thing. Listen, there was no questions or qualms or conversations about the passion of this fan base in the middle of the summer. You know, when they took 4 out of 5 games at Citi Field against the Atlanta Braves, it's just I don't know. I can't get into people's pocket. I'm a Met fan, Michael. I'm watching every game. I've been to the ballpark once this year. Does that make me not a passionate fan? Not in love with this team? Actually, twice. I went to Old Timers Day.
Right.
And I went to the game against the Nationals. I took the family a couple of Sundays ago. Does that make me that I'm not a passionate fan, that I don't care?
I do think that sometimes you guys will probably poo-poo this idea, but I think maybe the fan base just isn't – I think it's incredibly passionate. I don't know how big I believe it is. Like, I mean, relative – if you're comparing it to the Yankees, the Yankee base is just bigger, period. When we do – a lot of people think we do Yankee stuff a lot because we're – it's the Michael Kay Show. It's not true. We do a ton of Yankees here because the fact of the matter is they are the loudest, most aggressive fan base in the city. I just wonder because you're right, the Met base that I know is incredibly passionate, as passionate as any Yankee fan. But I think it's a much smaller number. I really do.
And you know, one of the knocks on Met fans, and you see it from other Met fans on social media, Met fans are so negative. Stop yourself. Did you see the Yankee fan base in August?
Yeah, hold my beer. Yankee fans will show you negative.
Bailing over the top on the team. I'm never watching them again just because they had an awful August. So don't think your fan base is negative because the other fan base is also negative.
Hey, Michael, I think the Mets are better.
The team.
I think the team's better. You know, you talk about star power. I mean, you look at Lindor and you look at Alonso and DeGrom's pitching.
McNeil's
pitching. I honestly, as good as Cole is, I don't know if Cole's the draw that Scherzer and DeGrom can be when they're on top of their games.
I think it's hard to argue that at this moment, besides the Judge piece, the Mets are a sexier team than the Yankees. They absolutely are.
Now, as far as going to the games, because you know the frauds that are out there, there might have been Met fans that were buying tickets to go to Yankee Stadium to see Judge hit the home run. But when we talk about the core and the passion of fans, the Mets, it's not an issue. The passion, the size, it's right there. It really is. If you were going to rank it, they're in the top four. You probably put the Knicks in there, Yankees, a sheer number, Giants. The Mets would be there.
But after those teams. They're after the Knicks, in my opinion.
I don't know if they're after the Knicks.
Oh, they're definitely after the Knicks.
I don't know.
I think the Knicks may be. I think the Knicks could be the most popular team in the city.
I think baseball, New York might be the biggest baseball town in this country.
But it's also one of the biggest basketball towns in the country. I think it's Knicks, Giants, Yankees, all in front of the Mets.
But if you look at television ratings,
and the Jets probably too.
I mean, local television ratings, the Yankees blow everybody away. Knicks aren't close. The Mets aren't close.
But so think about it, though. Think about what else the Yankees have on their great network. You know what I'm saying? Well, I meant all of us, but sure, you too. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew.
Sure.
The original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. Mets, Marlins tonight at Citi. Yankees, Blue Jays tonight in Rogers Center. Now, there's a good chance, everybody, that somebody might pull the plug on this show here in Rogers Center.
Why?
I'll tell you when we get back.
Okay.
Right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, we're hoping that transmission doesn't come down on my end for the show. Doing the show from Rogers Center, and the Yankees clinched yesterday. I don't know if you realized that.
I did.
And this is what I said as we went to commercial after the clinch. And you know what? It's really nice of Vlad Guerrero to let the Yankees celebrate in his house. Congratulations to the Yanks.
Mm.
So,
shots,
I mean, Yankee fans,
fired.
They were delighted. And, you know, I was talking with somebody who I respect, and he just said, you know what? Sports are fun. That's fun, what you did. You didn't do anything nasty. But I saw some Toronto fans on Twitter. I was trending yesterday for saying that. I don't know why.
Oh, how'd they find out?
What do you mean, how'd they find out?
I mean, you said it on the Yes broadcast.
I know, but then it became a national thing because it went out on social media.
People started putting on the old social,
huh? That's really nice, Michael. When the Blue Jays knocked the Yankees out, how are you going to feel then? How am I going to feel? It's not going to change what I said. I mean, he's screaming after the first game, not my house, or this is my house. I mean, wasn't it a layup to say it?
Yeah, I don't know who would take issue with that. I appreciate you leaning into the Yankee boyness of it all. You should. It's a good line.
I am the Yankee announcer.
That's correct.
Amazing. Let's go to the phones.
All right.
All right. Let's go to Gene in the Bronx. Gene, start it off.
What's going on, Michael, Don, and Peter?
How you doing?
I'm good. So I wanted to talk about the Mets and also the attendance thing, so I'll make the Mets point quick.
Okay.
I think personally the Mets, if they don't win the division, it's kind of a letdown just because they had such a big lead. And I know the Braves have always been a threat, but I feel like they gotta win the division. Also about the attendance thing, I feel personally it's easier to go to Yankee games in terms of like transportation. You have the B, D, and 4 train. Also, there's no toll to take the Major League into Yankee Stadium. And to me, the parking's a little bit easier. With Citi Field, you only have access to one train. And just to get to Manhattan to Queens is an hour, especially around 5:30, 6 o'clock trying to get to that game. So
I agree. I honestly, that's a good call. I would offer that too. I mean, as someone who is not a fan of the Yankees or Mets but enjoys taking in games of both, I definitely dread the trip out to Citi. Even though I like the stadium better, I don't like the trip out there better. I think the trip's much easier to the Yankee Stadium.
Well, I tell you what, the Mets are pretty centrally located. You have a major train stop. You have the Long Island Railroad. I mean, it's not exactly an Alcatraz.
No, but like it's the 7 train. It's not multiple train options. It's not right next to the city. I mean, dude, my trip from the Upper West Side to Yankee Stadium is nothing. When I drove there last week, granted it was during the day when I went to the show there, I got there in 14 minutes from my house. I mean, it's nothing. That there's no time of day in which you could do that to Citi Field. None.
I mean, you do have to go over a bridge for the most part. I get that. But yeah, a lot of Met fans are in Long Island, so it's
true.
Not that tough for them, and there is no toll.
But Long Island's big. That's still a far trip from a lot of places.
Let's go to Ali in Bay Ridge.
Fellas, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I actually saw you, Peter, the other day walking on West End Avenue. I guess you were going to the show. But I wanted to talk a little bit about this Mets Braves series. Obviously, I saw in the beginning of the month this was going to determine who the NL East winner was going to be. I mean, obviously, if the Mets do win 2 out of 3, yeah, they could still blow it. But this is the series that you saw in the beginning of the month it's going to determine. The attendance thing, I want to say, I think Yankee Stadium, just as a whole outside the stadium, you know, with the restaurants and the bars, it attracts more. I mean, outside Citi Field, really, there's not much. There's maybe 2 bars. Everything else is kind of just like industrial. So easy access from the city. And also what I've been noticing at Yankee Stadium, a lot of foreigners. You got a lot of like tourists been going to the games. I've been running into it in my experience this year of going to the games. So I think 31,000 attendance, though, is still a big attendance for Citi Field. That's still a lot of people going to a game. But, hey, Mike, you know what I want to ask you, and you're probably going to crucify me on this, but I'm looking at the Yankees right now. They basically, they're setting for the second place, right? These games just all irrelevant. So they got this series against the Orioles.
Right.
I think the one team that gives me that scares me the most is Seattle. So then I think they're 2.5 or 3 games out from the Orioles, 3 games out, I believe. Do the Yankees just – I mean, I know it's hard to say just to lose these games, but if you lose these games and you give the Orioles an opportunity, right, you put more pressure on Seattle, there's a chance that, you know, you can get Seattle out of the playoffs. Again, I know it sounds crazy.
It's just dangerous. I'm not going to blame you for liking the matchup, but we asked Aaron Boone about that the other day, and he said, be careful what you wish for. It could explode on you. Seattle doesn't scare me, except for Castillo. Now, he could pitch twice in the series, so that's scary. But the Orioles have a filthy bullpen. But you're right. The Yankees don't have anything to play for right now. They're not catching the Astros for the number one seed in the American League. But I think because of a 28-man roster, you can't rest everybody. You just can't. Now, you can keep your pitchers in shorter, but it's not like when the days of the 40-man roster in September where you could play all kids. Everybody's going to play in most of those games. That's just the way it is. So I don't think you lay over and roll over for the Orioles because, hey, they're 2.5 out, you said. And what if the Mariners win all their games? So it doesn't matter. You lost for no reason. You got to be careful what you wish for.
Now, at least I'm looking at the attendance statistics.
Yankees are third, averaging 39,984. The Mets are sixth in baseball, averaging 33,588. So that's a difference of a shade under 6,500 per game. So, but Yankee Stadium is bigger. What's Yankee Stadium's capacity?
Yankee Stadium, because they shortened some sections, it's like 46, 47.
And I think the Mets are somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe 41, 42. So there's a few thousand difference that can skew it. And also, listen, the Yankees are more popular than the Mets. That's not solving a Rubik's Cube. I mean, I think people would say right now there are more Yankee fans than Met fans. Yankees had an historic start to the season, and they've also had higher attendance recently because Judge is chasing a record. So when you look at it that way, size of the building, popularity of the team, are we that surprised of the difference? It's not really that big of a difference. It's not like the Mets are like 23rd in attendance. They're sixth.
No. But you could actually lean on the size of the building if both teams were selling out. The Mets, there's a lot of empty seats. So it doesn't matter. The size of the building only counts if the Mets sell out and the Yankees sell out, and then the Yankees have a higher attendance, and you say, well, they have more seats. Well, last night at Citi Field, there were 14,000 empty seats.
Oh, no, there's no question, but there have been sellouts at Yankee Stadium is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And there have been sellouts, so a couple. Again, there's no question. It shouldn't be a conversation who's the more popular team. But, you know, we make it seem like that the Yankees are so much, their attendance is so much better. Is it really that much better when you consider the start to the season and Judge going after an historic record? Because I could say that when the Pirates come to town in a division that's pretty much been wrapped up, if Judge isn't going after the record, there's probably 15,000 less people in the building, maybe 20 less thousand people in the building.
Let's go to Ken in Harlem. Ken.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
This may qualify me for curmudgeon of the day, but I wanted to point out my reaction to the celebration last night. I thought it was way over the top. It was way too much for too little a victory. There are far more other teams that are going to do the same thing. And if it should happen that they lose either to any other series, that this celebration is going to seem very, very hollow. And this kind of over-the-top demonstration of celebration or bat-flipping or whatever, it kind of like rubs me the wrong way. Yes, I'm an old guy and everything, but...
the Cardinals did the same thing last night.
Well, you know...
This is what's done. Ken, when you win a division title after a long, long, long season, it deserves celebration. And it's not as if they were, you know, doing any physical things that exerted all their energy. They were pouring beer and champagne on each other's heads. Do I think it's a little over the top? I think all these celebrations are a little over the top. By the way, kudos to Aaron Judge, the only one brave enough not to wear ski goggles.
Wow. See, that's
only one. That's a home run champion right there, Peter.
No, it's not only that. You know what that says to me? You know who else he is?
What is he?
The captain.
Not yet.
No. Soon come. That's the captain.
But didn't wear goggles. But I don't understand why that upsets people. It's not like the playoffs are tomorrow. They've got like 2 full weeks before they can dry out, so to speak. Come on, everybody. They didn't celebrate at all when they clinched a postseason berth. That was the right thing. You win a division title, it deserves celebration. Frank Cashin once told David Cone something, and every time you watch a celebration, take this into mind, the former Mets GM. Frank Cashin said, watch postseason celebrations. He said, the guys that celebrate the most, and they are the most raucous, are the ones who do the littlest. And it's true. It's usually the guys on the bench or something like that. They go crazy. But I don't begrudge the Cardinals and the Yankees the opportunity to celebrate. Did you guys have a problem with yesterday?
No. I mean, I got a problem with it overall, but in the way that it's done around baseball, it was fine. I mean, they weren't jumping all over each other like they won the World Series. They celebrated winning a division title.
Right.
But just like the Mets or the Braves will, like you said, the Cardinals did. Astros are way more over the top when they won theirs. I just don't know why it can't be done in other sports. Because it's not like – baseball's not like it was when they first did these celebrations. I mean, the more playoff teams you add, the more layers, then you're kind of becoming like other sports. It's no different than football. as far as the playoff format's concerned, right? With the number of teams that make it, but it's just not something that's done in football, but it's done in baseball.
I like the vibe of how the Mets celebrated getting into the postseason, and the Yankees did too. They didn't celebrate that much because that's not celebratable, I think. But winning a division, I think if the Mets win the division, they'll go crazy, and they should.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't they?
I just think that when you're celebrating something, but it's not the ultimate goal now. Now to the Mariners, to the Brewers, to the Phillies, to the Padres, well, that's the only goal they have is to win the wild card. So maybe the celebration's different. But when the Mets are in a death battle for the division against the Braves and to celebrate like clowns getting the wild card, that would have sent off the wrong vibe. And they did exactly what they should have done.
Yep.
Acknowledge it, but realize, hey, we've got bigger fish to fry. Yankees, listen, this was their goal. And, oh, by the way, it's only their, second division title
in
the last decade.
Right.
So why can't you celebrate it?
People just want to, impart their own, things on people.
We have to realize it's one person, one call. So when you say people... All right. It doesn't mean that he represents the majority of people. He might be the only person on the planet that thought that way.
All those other people on the planet, call in 1-800-919-3776. Take more of your phone calls. We'll get to the Yankees celebration and winning the division and what's next for them. It's Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, Peter, here we go.
What are we doing?
Mets starting lineup brought to you by Nissan. I don't think you'll get this. I don't even think you'll go too deep.
I won't even go too deep, huh?
Right. You will have the second one wrong.
Oh.
But can I give him a little hint?
No.
Yeah.
All right, give him a hint.
Think Yankees.
All right, go.
Think Yankees.
Like if the Yankees lineup all year and not
Aristophanes.
The Mets.
Oh, well.
Say if Boone was their manager instead of Buck.
So you're saying Brandon Nimmo's leading off and playing center.
There you go.
But they're giving Francisco Lindor the day off.
Oh, no.
No, don't think that way. Think the other way. If Aaron Boone was setting the Mets lineup today, how would he do it in relation to the way the Yankees did it the majority of the year? He's not getting it.
I don't.
Why don't you spell it out for him?
Yeah, spell it out. We'll keep going. Okay,
I'm a big boy. Well, if the Yankees have Judge, the Mets have
Pete.
And the Yankees have batted Judge Ware most of the year.
Oh, wow. That was a little bit.
Well,
it's right, but it was a little. It was further away than I thought.
All I'm saying is I wasn't even allowed to give you a hint.
Right. So Pete Alonso batting second.
That's right.
Yeah. And Francisco Lindor hitting third.
That's right. And then at cleanup, are they bringing in the big boy?
No.
No. Big boy, they sent him home. Striking out looking like
the guy you like his name. You say it so well, it's a drop.
Mark Canha?
Mark Canha?
Yeah.
Left field.
Batting cleanup, huh?
Yeah. Batting fifth, the right fielder. Jeff McNeil.
He's batting fifth? Wow.
Third baseman, Eduardo Escobar.
Escobar.
This lineup is insane. Okay.
Mark Vientos, the DH, will bat seventh.
He's a player on the team? Okay.
Batting eighth, the second baseman, Luis Guillorme.
Oh, sure.
And who's catching, Peter?
Jimmy James McCann.
No, Tommy Nito. Oh.
This is a good lineup.
Tommy Nito. Damn, it was a rough day today. What can I say?
Taijuan Walker.
I didn't know. Taijuan.
Taijuan.
Look. Pitching like Taijuan. He's more Taijuan.
He deserves
like
Taijuan.
Glavine.
Right. He's Taijuan right now.
You were here for that. That like when you pitch poorly.
No, he wasn't.
No, but I've heard about it. I know exactly the reference.
Bart Colin.
I've heard.
That's today's Mets starting lineup brought to you by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store on NissanUSA.com today. Also, very quickly, I want to get to a phone call before we break. The atrocity of three balks on Richard Bleier in one inning. Because there's one of two things that are happening here, Don. Either the guy who called the balks messed up, or everybody all year that didn't see the same move, they messed up. What is it? Every other umpire or this guy?
I don't know. Is there a certain like quota that you have to reach as an umpire?
No.
And he was trying to catch up on lost time. I mean, three in the same inning was an absolute embarrassment. Let's face it. I tweeted this out last night. Balks are a joke, all right? Nobody steals anymore. Now, next year, things might be different. But I think the leader in stolen bases has 37 this year. So it's not even a thing. All right, that's number one. Number two, are you really getting that much of an advantage? No. And the other thing is, read the room. The Mets are down 6-3. Why in God's name would McNeil be trying to steal second base anyway? So can't you as an umpire say, this is obviously not a steal situation, I'm not going to ticky-tack it, and then embarrass him and then yourself by calling three in a row?
And the guy didn't even throw to first.
He just didn't.
They said he didn't come to a set. That's his motion. He never had a balk all year.
No.
So everybody missed it all year.
Stop it. Really. It was really.
I think it was Ryan Blakeney, right?
Yeah. And so everybody ends up getting thrown. I felt bad for Mattingly. I mean, come on. It's a joke, really. The balk itself is a joke. Like, people can't – with the naked eye, you can't pick up on this stuff.
No.
So how's the base runner supposed to take advantage of it? I could see if you're in the wind-up instead of the stretch. If you do something where you can clearly see that you're putting the base runner at a disadvantage, but the slight hesitation in your motion, come on. The balk is a joke.
It was three straight?
It was three straight
to score a run.
Yeah, he went from first and scored.
I don't know if I've ever
seen that. Here's a guy we're worried about.
Because I don't think it's ever happened.
That may have never happened.
We're worried about this guy, so let's check in with him. He's in St. Pete.
Yes.
Spike, are you out of there yet?
I left St. Pete Monday night late, and we drove 85 to 90 miles. We have a rental property in the Villages, Wildwood, and it's vacated now because it's off-season. So we have electricity here. The internet just went down, but I'm on my cell phone. And it was so great to hear that remark you made about Vladdy last night. That I loved it, and I'm reading what I can on it. And we're going to have meaningful baseball in New York in September. And as far as what's going on, you know, we have block houses. So I have a block house at St. Pete, and it looks bad there, man. It really looks bad. So I'll go back when they allow me in. You can't stay there. The police won't do anything for you. And it's scary as hell, but I've been through worse in my life. And God willing, we'll be fine. You know the expression, if the good Lord's willing and the crick don't rise?
Yep.
Well, the crick rose.
Yeah,
so I thank everybody for sending me messages and all that. And just another phase of your life. So you do the smart thing and you stay safe. It's just great to hear you guys. Man, last night, Michael, you made me smile and things were rough, you know. So thank you for that.
We want you to stay safe, man. All right?
Yeah,
I know you do. I want to see the Yankees in the World Series, for God's sake.
Yeah, so you have to stay safe. Well, be good. That Spike is out of St. I got to tell you one thing. Here's what scares me. Now, I spent a lot of time in Tampa because of spring training there. There are so many trailer parks where people live essentially in trailers. I mean, those things could be just blown away.
Yep.
Just blown away.
It does look like Tampa is going to be somewhat spared.
And that was supposed to be the heart of it.
From a 4 to 6 foot surge. They're talking about it maybe being 18 feet in Fort Myers.
Yeesh.
25 inches of rain in one day in Fort Myers. That looks like that's where it's really going to go. And You know, and Governor DeSantis said it yesterday, is that you're going to get to a point, we heard this during Sandy, where first responders are not going to be able to respond. That's why for the people that decide to stay, they may not be anybody to come rescue you if things get bad. So Spike did the right thing, get out of there. Obviously, possessions can be replaced, but people can't. So for the people that are going to stay, you know, hopefully you get through this. We're thinking about you.
All right, we'll come back in just a moment, talk about the Yankees night in Toronto, and Judd still sitting at 60. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes, the ESPN app, and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.